Lesson 88, Acts 9. Introduction. Jesus appeared to Saul as he traveled to Damascus, after which Saul was blind. After Ananias healed him, Saul was baptized and began preaching in Damascus. 3 years later, Saul went to Jerusalem. But when his life was threatened, the apostles sent him to Tarsus. Peter performed miracles in Lydda and Joppa. Note. Help students understand context and content. One of the fundamentals of gospel teaching and learning is to understand the context and content of the scriptures. Context includes the circumstances that surround or the background to a particular scriptural passage, event, or account. Content includes the people, events, sermons, and inspired explanations that make up the text. As you help students understand the context and content of the scriptures, they will be prepared to recognize the messages of the inspired authors. Suggestions for teaching. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Jesus appears to Saul on the road to Damascus. Write on the board the following statement by Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. This statement is found in The Best Is Yet to Be, Ensign Orleahona, January 2010. Quote, "There is something in many of us that particularly fails to forgive and forget earlier mistakes in life, either our mistakes or the mistakes of others. Let people repent. Let people grow. Believe that people can change and improve." End quote. Invite a student to read aloud the statement on the board. Then ask the class, "What are some situations in which it would be important to allow others to change and improve, and to believe they can do so? What are some situations in which it would be important to believe that we can change and improve?" Invite students to look for truths as they study Acts 9 that we can learn from the experience of someone who changed and improved. Explain that most of the text of Acts 9 focuses on the experiences of a man named Saul. Invite a student to read aloud the following description of Saul. Saul was born in the Greek city Tarsus and had Roman citizenship. He was a Jew from the lineage of Benjamin and was educated in Jerusalem by Gamaliel, a well-known Pharisee and respected teacher of Jewish law. Saul became a Pharisee and he spoke a Hebrew tongue, probably Aramaic and Greek. He was later known by his Latin name, Paul. See Bible Dictionary, Paul. Remind students that Saul was present at the stoning of Stephen. Invite a student to read Acts 8, 1 through 3 aloud, and another student to read Acts 9, 1 through 2 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for how Saul treated Jesus Christ's followers. How did Saul treat Jesus Christ's followers? According to Acts 9, 1 through 2, why was Saul going to Damascus? Invite a student to read Acts 9, 3 through 6 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what happened as Saul traveled to Damascus. Who appeared to Saul? Point out the phrase, "kick against the pricks," in verse 5. Explain that a prick refers to a goad or a sharp stick used to make animals move. If possible, show students a pointed stick. In this case, to kick against the pricks means to fight against God. Invite students to consider marking Saul's question recorded in verse 6. What does Saul's question teach us about him? He desired to submit to the Lord's will. Summarize Acts 9, 7 through 9 by explaining that those traveling with Saul saw the light but did not hear Jesus' voice as he spoke to Saul. See Joseph Smith translation Acts 9, 7 in Acts 9, 7 footnote A, and also Acts 22, 9. Following the vision, Saul was physically blind. He was led to Damascus and did not eat or drink for 3 days. Imagine being Saul. If you had aggressively persecuted Jesus Christ's disciples, what might you be thinking and feeling during this time? Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 22. Saul is healed by Ananias of Damascus, is baptized, and preaches about Jesus Christ. Invite a student to read Acts 9:10 through 12 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Lord directed Ananias, a church member in Damascus, to do. What did the Lord direct Ananias to do? Point out that Saul's original intent in going to Damascus was to arrest people like Ananias. If you were Ananias and knew Saul's reputation, what might you have thought after receiving this direction from the Lord? Invite a student to read Acts 9:13 through 16 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Lord taught Ananias about Saul. How did the Lord's view of Saul differ from Ananias' view of Saul? According to verse 15, what had the Lord chosen Saul to be and to do? You may want to point out that the phrase "chosen vessel" may refer to the fact that Saul was foreordained to his ministry. According to verse 16, although Saul would be a chosen vessel unto the Lord, what would he experience? What truths can we learn from these verses about how the Lord sees us? Students may identify a variety of truths, but be sure to emphasize that the Lord sees us as we can become, and the Lord sees our potential for assisting Him in His work. Write these truths on the board. Invite students to ponder how their individual backgrounds, character traits, and abilities can be used to assist the Lord in His work. Ask them to record their thoughts in their class notebooks or scripture study journals. Invite a student to read Acts 9:17 through 20 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what Ananias did after the Lord helped him understand Saul's potential and his future mission. What did Ananias do for Saul? According to verse 20, what did Saul do straightway, or immediately, after being baptized and receiving strength? Point out that Saul's repentance, baptism, and preaching demonstrated his faith in Jesus Christ and his submissiveness to the Lord's will. Invite a student to read Acts 9:21 through 22 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for how the people reacted to Saul's preaching. How did the people react to Saul's preaching? Why were the people amazed as they listened to Saul? Remind students that the question Saul asked Jesus, recorded in Acts 9 verse 6, demonstrated his humility and his desire to submit to the Lord's will. Like Saul, what must we do to change and to fulfill the potential the Lord sees in us? Using students' words, write the following principle on the board. If we submit to the Lord's will, then we can change and can fulfill the potential He sees in us. Invite two volunteers to come to the front of the room. Give one student soft, molding clay, and give another student hardened, molding clay. If you do not have access to molding clay, invite students to imagine doing this activity. Then ask them the questions that follow the activity. Give the volunteers 30 seconds or so to create something of their choosing using their clay. If the student with the hardened clay says it's too difficult, encourage him or her to keep trying. After sufficient time, invite the volunteers to display what they created. Ask the student who was given the hardened clay, "Why was it difficult to sculpt something with your clay?" Thank the volunteers and invite them to return to their seats. Ask the class, "How can the hardened clay be likened to someone who is not submissive to the Lord's will? How can the moldable clay be likened to someone who is submissive to the Lord's will? How has submitting to the Lord helped you or others to change and to fulfill the potential the Lord sees in you or in them?" Read aloud the following statement by President Ezra Taft Benson. Quote, "A person can ask no more important question in his or her life than that which Paul asked, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me do?'" End quote. From Listen to a Prophet's Voice, Ensign, January 1973. Invite students to ponder the question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" Invite them to record any promptings they receive. After sufficient time, read aloud the following statement by President Benson. Quote, "A person can take no greater action than to pursue a course that will bring to him or her the answer to that question, and then to carry out that answer. End quote. Again from Listen to a Prophet's Voice. Encourage students to continue to seek an answer to this question and to act on any promptings they receive. Acts chapter 9, verses 23 through 31. Saul's life is threatened in Jerusalem, and the apostles send him to Tarsus. Point out that after Saul's conversion, he dwelt in Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Summarize Acts 9, 23 through 26 by explaining that Jews in Damascus conspired to kill Saul, but church members helped him escape the city. 3 years after his conversion, Saul went to Jerusalem, where church members were afraid to receive him because they did not believe he had become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why do you think some church members were reluctant to accept that Saul had become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Summarize Acts 9, 27 through 31 by explaining that Barnabas, a church member, brought Saul to the apostles and told them of Saul's vision and of his bold preaching in Damascus. Church members then welcomed Saul into their fellowship. When Greek Jews in Jerusalem sought to kill Saul, church leaders sent him to Tarsus. The church experienced peace and growth in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. Peter performs miracles in Lydda and Joppa. Divide students into pairs. Ask one student in each pair to read Acts 9, 32 through 35, and the other student to read Acts 9, 36 through 42. Invite them to look for the miracles Peter performed and how people responded. Explain that alms deeds, in verse 36, is the practice of giving offerings to the poor. After sufficient time, invite students to discuss in their pairs the miracles Peter performed and how the people responded. Then ask the class, according to verses 35 and 42, how did the people in Lydda and the people in Joppa respond to Peter's ministering? What can we learn from their responses about the possible effects of ministering to others? Using students' words, write the following principle on the board. By ministering to others, we can help people turn to the Lord and believe in Him. Explain that giving priesthood blessings is one way to minister to others. To help students recognize additional ways we can minister to others, ask, according to verses 36 and 39, how did Tabitha minister to others? How could someone who is full of good works, see verse 36, and who serves others, help people turn to the Lord and believe in Him? When have someone else's good works helped you or others turn to the Lord and believe in Him? Conclude by sharing your testimony of the truths taught in this lesson.